Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends. You're listening to Talk Straight. Your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Talk Straight is a podcast platform sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute. During the month of Black History Month 2018, imagine with me, if you will, we're taking a young man from urban America, armed with a pistol, full of frustration and anger towards society, and ready to explode, into a 6x6 dark room, locked with you and I for 3 hours. The question is, what do we tell him? Using research from our traveling seminar and lecture series for PFC Institute, we will tell him how history, African American history, lays out a pathway of success for anyone, particularly young males from urban America, ready to explode. Join us each Tuesday and Thursday night throughout Black History Month as we share important information that can transform lives. I invite you to visit our webpage at www.bfcinstitute.com. As you go to our homepage, you will find the various links. One where you can join us live at 7 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday and Thursday night, as well as listen to archive broadcast. We welcome you again to join us, and we look forward to your involvement on our live podcast interaction.
Welcome again to another live episode of Talk Straight. As you heard, this is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us again. And also, as you've heard, this is a podcast designed for national dialogue. So we invite you to join us tonight. You can give us a call here in the studio and participate live with us at 657-383-0944. I expect that Pastor Ricky Waller, our regular panel, will join us, and I see we have some callers in queue already. We welcome them as well to the broadcast tonight. We're going to pick up where we left off on this past Tuesday. As you heard in the opening commercial, we're talking with a young man, despondent, armed, and dangerous. We got him in a small box, and all we have is air and opportunity to assist him with fixing his problem. If we're not careful, his anxious trigger finger can cause death and destruction in the dark room. So the question is, what do we tell them? Tonight we're talking from the topic this Black History Month, February the 15th. The Harlem Renaissance, the tradition, or rather transition, from being colored to black. What was that experience like, and what can this young man learn from that transition? Why did we first start calling ourselves black, people of Afro ancestry that were brought to America under the guise of slavery? When did you start calling yourself black as opposed to Negro or colored? But more importantly, we want to talk about the impact of the Harlem Renaissance movement. All right. Again, the number to call us here is 657-383-0944. We honor and welcome your call. All we ask is that you keep your conversation relevant to our topic and that you may hear an opinion on air that you may or may not agree with. I don't ask you to accept my opinion as fact, but we just ask you to be respectful of all of our callers. callers. Lily, how you doing? Hope you can join us, Lily. The number is 657-383-0944. We're grateful for our Facebook followers and for you tuning in. If you just want to listen, that's great too, but we'll be happy to hear your conversation tonight. And again, I've given you the live number to give us a call here. All right, we're going to go ahead with our monologue, which provides context and background for our conversation tonight. And if we need to, we'll go back there as a frame of reference, okay? Perhaps you have some information and you want to share that with us tonight. We'll be happy to hear that again. All righty. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and begin our monologue. Again, the topic tonight is the Harlem Renaissance, transition from being colored to black people. Who called you black? John, the third chapter, briefly verses 1 through 4. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is what conversation we have with a little brother in a dark room. Let's get it. Now, let's understand the context of Renaissance, what it means. All right? Around 460 AD, the Roman Empire crumbled and failed because it was internally wicked and corrupt. So it destroyed itself from the inside out. And when it failed, all of its law and order and culture began to slowly break up and dissipate. All right? Over time, people who once were under the Roman rule and its empire became more astute, and they experienced what was known in Europe as a Renaissance, which is a rebirth, which was identified by activity, spirit, and the time of great revival in arts and literature and learning experiences that you've seen in Europe beginning around the 1300s, and it stayed around to about 1600s, making the transition from the medieval period to the so-called modern world, as they call it. But now we've regained some of what we've lost. Now, as it relates to black people, we were once called Negroes when we were brought from the continent of Africa to America and forced into slavery. And over a period of time, even after 1865, when you were set free, you were still called a Negro. But slave masters, as you know, began to mix and have children with some of their slaves. And then the need to reclassify those people who were subjugated to slavery became necessary. And they called them colored because you had a certain drop of white blood in you. But you were still not white, according to the law at the time. Okay? And consequently, the vigor, the significance, the importance of identity became whether you were colored or black. Well, after slavery, around the early 1900s, there were some people that we're going to talk about that were responsible for a movement in America that showed the best that Negro, black, and colored people, African-American people, had to offer. It's Black History Month. Our babies need to understand this. And we're sharing with little brother in this dark room, look here, man, it ain't always been bad. There's hope. Okay? So the Harlem Renaissance in Harlem, New York, was an intellectual a social and an artistic explosion that took place in Harlem, New York, where the ghettos were. Poor people left the South and came up there looking for a better life and found out, guess what, it was the plantations was bad, but it was sometimes worse up there in the ghettos of Harlem, New York, and other urban parts of America, like Chicago and St. Louis and places of that nature. All right? The Harlem Renaissance era spanned from 1920 and to about 1930 or so. During this time, it was known as the New Negro Movement, named after the 1925 anthology of a brother by the name of Dr. Alain Locke. We're going to talk about him in just a second. The movement also included the new African-American cultural expressions across urban areas in the Northeast and Midwest of the United States, affected by African-American Great Migration, as I just made reference to, of which Harlem was one of the largest areas that these migrants came to. The Harlem Renaissance was considered to be a rebirth, if you will, of African-American spirit and art, just like the European Renaissance was. They were coming back alive after slavery now. Though it was centered in the Harlem neighborhood of the boroughs of Manhattan of New York, many people and writers of African and Caribbean colonies who lived in Paris were also influenced by the Harlem Renaissance and all of the artistic expressions that came out of it. The Renaissance is generally considered to have spanned from roughly about 1920 to 1930. Now, who were some of the people most notable for the Harlem Renaissance era? You remember I told you about being classified as colored versus being a Negro? Well, there became a time where even mulattoes or half-white people who were forced to accept that they were black simply because they had enough, a drop of black blood in them, they did not want to rock the boat too much. And many of them benefited from the idea that their pigmentation and their skin tone was a lot lighter, and therefore they had more privileges and freedoms to do certain things. But the darker you were, the more suspect you became. Okay? During this Harlem Renaissance era where there was this rebirth, there were poets and there were musicians and there were artists that drew pictures and images and what have you. Even during this time, they had somebody draw a picture of Jesus Christ and to make him look like a Negro with big nose and big lips and red eyes and nappy hair, right? These were some of the cultural expressions that took place. Well, there was a gentleman by the name of Jean Tuma who happened to have had a African mother, Negro mother, and a Caucasian or white father. Jean Tuma was considered, hey, one of the people, right? But he didn't want to make a big fuss about it. He wanted to just keep it low, low. He was born in 1894, died in 1967. He was a poet and a novelist, and he was commonly associated with the Harlem Renaissance era. Though he resisted the idea of this emergence and association with blackness and strong and so forth and so on. So he kind of, you know, let's just calm down, man. Chill out. Don't get too happy now. But Jean Tuma was not the only one that was well known during this era. Brother Alain Locke, as I mentioned to you, he was born in 1885 and passed in 1954. He was a writer, a philosopher, an educator, and the patron of the arts. Now, he was distinguished as one of the first Rhodes Scholars in 1907. This brother was tough, like Dr. Carter G. Woodson we talked about a week before last, right? And he was educated, and he wanted to bring an educated approach to this new birth of black experience and explosion. So let's be dignified when we talk about it, which was okay. But there were some black people saying, it's time for us to get it now and to be recognized like we've never been before. We built this country, and we want everybody to recognize it. So Alain Locke and Jean Tuma had two different perspectives about this black emergence or this renaissance that exploded in Harlem, New York, and had effect all over the world and other parts of urban America. Okay? Now, interestingly enough, with these two cats, they found themselves butting heads with Brother Festus Claude McKay. Cat was something else, man. McKay was born in 1889, died in 1948. He was a Jamaican, and his contribution to the Harlem Renaissance was to write the story of the black man's struggle. He refused to be called either Negro or colored anymore, and he came up with the noun black with a capital B, not an adjective that's used with a small b, but a noun, black, which means that you are a noun is a person, place, or thing. He was talking about a people in America who were strong and who built the country and had something to offer. This little brother in the room needs to understand you don't have to kill and destroy because you have a great history right here in America. You just didn't know about it. Calm down, man. Put the gun down. Let's talk. Claude McKay's position was, listen, we're no longer going to let anybody identify us. See, we were African by nature when we came from the continent of Africa. When they brought us over here, they started identifying the people they enslaved as Negroes. It was a Spanish word because the Spanish were the first, the Portuguese were the first to engage in the slave trade. Then the English picked it up, right? Claude McKay said, no, don't call me that. And listen, some of us don't accept your classification as colored, even, no matter how light we are. But we're going to self-identify as black people. And that's where blackness was born during the Harlem Renaissance era and spread in these northern areas in Harlem, New York, and other Bronx and the boroughs and Chicago. And it went all the way out to California. It went all over the United States in urban areas where blacks had left the plantations up south, down south, and come up north. And they said, we're black people. We're strong. We're somebody. James Brown, you said, say it loud. I'm black and I'm, you understand what I'm saying. Now, I'm just trying to get little brother to understand, you ain't always been looking bad and feeling bad. It's some good times to you, okay? Now, I want to share one thing about Claude McKay with you that I think is particularly interesting. A lot of his ideas didn't sit well with the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People because he rejects the notion that the only way you can make it in America is that you got to be called colored or something other than what you identify yourself as at the time. So we can date blackness back to between 1918 and 1930 in terms of having its origin. Okay? And Brother Claude McKay left a strong, indelible impression in the minds of Negro and black colored folk that you are somebody strong. That's what black was. Somehow in a dictionary, it was associated with everything negative. But he said, you define and identify yourself. Now, one of the things that Claude McKay, one of his works that he wrote, did a paper about this in college 30-some years ago, was a poem entitled, If We Must Die. It goes like this. If we must die, let it not be like hogs, hunted and penned in an inglorious spot, while round us bark the mad and hungry dogs, making their mark at our accused lot. If we must die, oh, let us nobly die, so that our precious blood may not be shed in vain. Then even the monsters we defy shall be constrained to honor us though dead. O kinsmen, we must meet the common foe. Though far outnumbered, let us show us brave, and for their thousand blows deal one deathly blow. We, though before us lie the open grave, like men we'll face the murderous, cowardly pack, pressed to the wall, dying, but fighting back. Claude, Festus Claude McKay. Y'all watch out now. I'm feeling my help right now. I'm feeling my help. I want you to hear this song, Pastor Wallen. We're coming right to you, and look like we got 3072. Call us. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. We want to talk about the importance of the Harlem Renaissance and how young people today can identify themselves. In just a second, let's check this out right here. Y'all listen to this for a second. Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Let's get it. Let's get it. The Harlem Renaissance transition from being colored to black. Pastor Waller.
What do you say, Pastor Dockery?
Man, what's going on, brother?
Man, I tell you, being that there's so much going on, I'm just going to stay a student, man. You know, willing and ready to learn, but that I don't know.
Okay. 3072, yes, keep me calm down tonight. I'm fired up now.
All right.
All right, sister. All right.
Listen,
yeah, man, go,
I'm going to tell that little brother in that sixth room, son, you'll rise again. And ain't no power on earth can keep you down. What about that, man?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all talk to me.
I'm going to let her drive, man. I'm going to put her in the car, let her drive. 3072.
You in the driver's seat, 3072. Kick us off.
Look, well, I was going to tell him if, I mean, we ain't going to get nowhere because I was letting him drive. He got the key.
I tell you what, I'm going to drive then. I'm going to kick my feet and I'm going to drive.
She's all right. You know she's all right. But I get it.
Let's talk
a great
about
thing.
Let's talk about for a second, Pat. Within the black or Negro African-American experience, there is a division. Some people are hesitant to try and move and to do other than what they are told to do in society because they don't agree with the idea that you should be what they call radical. What do you think about that, Pastor?
That you say you shouldn't be what they call radical?
Radical.
I mean, but listen, you know, I think I like when you utilize scripture. And then, you know, I think about the ignorance and not knowing things about not too much of anything, you know, because I was bowed down in a feeble position for so long, you know.
Mm.
And for many years, you know, I was in that type of position, so with my head hung down. So that means I didn't to acknowledge a lot of things that's going on. And then all of a sudden, I heard something about what was said in the Bible. You know, that he's no respecter of persons, and God is no respecter of a person. So I'm still dealing with this. When you say something about the slave master and things like that, you know, and I often wonder, who created the heavens and the earth? Who made everything, you see? So why is it that I have to look back and think that my own people, what they call black people, whatever they may call, you know, from Negro to nigger to from all the nicknames that they have given us, and we have to bow down and accept them. And he gave us those names. I mean, I look at the Bible in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15, and I noticed something there, and I was just pondering on the thought, you know, when it says, his head and his hair were white like wool. His eyes.
Who was that?
So I want to know, you know, because I didn't know it back then. I was nodding back then. I was, as I said, you know, for 20 years of my life, I couldn't even raise my head up.
I hear you, big brother.
And then it goes on. I'm going to turn it back over to you. Then it goes on and says,
no, go ahead. You're doing good.
Like unto fine brands, as if they burned in a furnace.
Mm-hmm.
And his voice has the sound of many waters. In other words, I discovered something right there. That sound like me, that the color of that, it matches my color.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it's in the Bible, so that's why I'm wondering, how did I become a slave and continue to have to be a slave to when the Word of God has made it plain to me? And I said it last time we talked on Tuesday. This is the day that the Lord God has made.
You have
to rejoice and be glad in it. So that means that I don't have to bow down to nobody.
You know what I mean?
So I'm learning now. Like I say, I'm just a student. You know, I'm willing to learn. Just so happens, the latter part of my life that I'm open for learning, man. I didn't learn that back then. You see.
You know who's learning something tonight, Pastor? This little brother in the 6x6 room. You just taught him something.
Yeah.
You just taught him he ain't got to bow his head down and think he ain't no
man. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Huh?
Trying to make a stand, man. But what's right, you know.
Not only in the Harlem Renaissance, but the Bible tells you that, look, when you start lining yourself up with example in the text, it suggests that I got nappy head, Pastor. My head nappy right now.
Right.
My wife told me, you better go get a haircut. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
I'm just saying, man. Now, listen. With that being said, 37-2, does that mean nobody else can benefit from identifying with the Savior of the universe? Is that what they're saying?
No, that's crazy to think that. I mean, again, back to that hill where that blood is, I mean, there's so much blood there, it's enough for the universe. So everybody gets their portion, and we're all somebody. Pastor Waller is right. I mean, that is a beautiful feeling to know that you are somebody. You don't have to go anywhere feeling, even in the dirtiest clothes or in the raggedest shoes, you don't have to go somewhere feeling like you belong in a trash can. You should hold your head up and walk with valor. I mean, you are something. You're somebody.
Can I hold your thought right there, 37-2? You know why he straps himself with the system? Because to him, that gives him power and make people pay attention to him.
Yes.
Huh?
My.
They give him a reason for people to stop and consider him. But you ain't got to go that way, LaShawn. Put your gun down.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
He sells dope because he don't know any other way, constructive way, to earn money in America or to build wealth for himself.
You know what I find hilarious, though? Back to how we're talking about just walking in the image that we want to portray. Oftentimes, I get people joking and I think seriously, but trying to downplay being serious. I'm asked, you know, they kind of look at me up and down, you know, like, well, who you supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be? Who I was going as me. I mean, what do you mean? Well, who do I think I am? I think I'm somebody. I mean, but why is this, where is all this coming from? Exactly. So, man, how are you receiving me? Is it in a good way, bad way? Yeah, sometimes people just, because they don't have that, they take it something bad even, or they feel like you looking down on, what have I done or said to give you that impression? No, you see me with pride. You're right. I haven't done anything or said nothing to be disrespectful. I've even offered help, but you looking at me crazy talking about who am I supposed to be? Okay,
Oh my goodness.
That's funny, but it's hilarious.
You know, we learned, Pastor, when we were talking about the father of Black History Month, Carter Goodwin Woodson. We learned that it was in 1972, I believe it was, that President Ford first gave it national recognition. And it went from Black History Week to Black History Month, right?
Okay.
And all this time, we've been celebrating the month, but there are babies who don't have a clue about the fact that here's a lesson of how you can identify yourself beyond just a thug, a hustler, or a somebody in the urban city somewhere that has no value. You dropped out. Yes, you may have committed sort of criminal offense and got a record, but that don't mean that you're not any.
Dude, that's amazing. Don't mean that it's said that. Yeah, you know, I'm amazed that you said that because it's very true. And a lot of times, you know, young brothers are not looking at the news, you know. And I'm going back to the time when I was captured, you know, I didn't look at no news or anything like that.
Right.
And matter of fact,
right.
you know, I didn't even care who the president was. So it didn't matter if I knew his name or not. And that's the thing, because this is what we said back then. It's talking about those dead presidents. I think they're talking about money.
Watch out, Pastor.
I wanted to know anything about it. So it really didn't matter about who the president was, because I wasn't participating in that. So these young brothers today, is what I'm saying, that's where they are. Most of them, they are not aware of it. So and the speed of street life has picked up a notch, and it caused them not to be able to see that. And yes, you know, here it is, just like this day right here. The Bible says that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone on this earth has a measure of faith, meaning that now some people feel like they got a head start. And, you know, if you're in a race and someone got the head start on you, they're bound to beat you, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming from a standpoint that most people have the advantage of us. That's what I'm sure they think, because they know we don't have a lot of things that we definitely need.
Yeah.
And not to mention about what we want, but just what we need. You see what I'm saying? If we had an opportunity to say, just this day right here, everyone is going to have this measure of faith, and nothing that you already have even counts. We're just going to start on what you have today.
Mm.
And I'm willing to bet you that it would be equal playing field.
Mm.
And all the gifts and things that we can prove that we are somebody, it would be effective, but it's so much pressure because most people have a head start on us. You see what I'm saying? And that keeps
it means that way in, don't it?
Yeah,
it
that's,
seems
that's,
like
that's
that.
The plan. Yeah, that's the plan. That's why the narcotics are in the neighborhood like they are.
Preach, sir.
That's a big part. That's what captured me with a basketball in my hand, as innocent as I was. I wasn't thinking about selling no drugs. You see what I'm saying? You know?
And
it's amazing. I get a chance to look back and see it now, but I said, man, did you want to sell drugs? No, I didn't want to sell no drugs. I wanted
to
deal with that basketball I'm playing with.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so, man, it's a sad thing, man, to capture so many innocent people like that.
Caught up. Mm-hmm. Pastor, you said something that was interesting. You said that when you were caught up in the street life and the drug life, you were tapped out of the reality of who even the president was. Now, watch this.
Right.
If you go to be evaluated by a psychologist or a psychiatrist, they're going to ask you two questions. You may have heard this before. You work in the health 3072.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to ask you, do you know what today is?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they will go further to ask you, who is the current president? And if you can't answer those two questions, they know that something is going on in your head that ain't right.
Yeah.
You're sure right. It's got to be. And I'm telling you, that's amazing. It's amazing.
But in your
case.
Well,
they probably would lock me up because I would tell them we don't have a president. Nobody was elected.
Man, I love you, man. She's
you ought to quit that, dude. You ought to quit
that.
Let me do this.
Real, man.
Let me do this. Let me do this. You're listening to Talk Straight, the topic tonight, the Harlem Renaissance. Transition from being colored to black. We're talking to Pookie, who's locked in this 6x6 room with us, Pastor Waller just dropped a dime on him. He dropped something on him right there. I don't know if y'all heard it. But when we come back on the other side of this break, 37-2, I got a question for you. Okay? I got a question for you. I want to hit you up with something. That's all right.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Brother Waller on, Pastor Waller on with us, author of Still High, very powerful book about transforming your life from destruction to proaction. And our good friend 3072, who's calling in with us, we invite you to call right now if you're listening to us. Thank you, Facebook friend. Lily, thank you for joining us. Rayma, thank you. Devorah, thank you for joining us tonight. Appreciate you guys. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Again, that number, call us live tonight, 657-383-0944. On the other side of the break, I told 3072 that I had a question for. Now that we know we're talking to Pookie, the guy that's in this box with us all month long, Pastor Waller, his name, they called him Pookie. He said they called me Pookie. Huh?
Uh-huh.
And Pastor, he thinks he got it going on.
Yeah.
He don't think he need no help. He's straight.
I heard the pain.
He's the best. In fact, he's the best man. Pastor,
yeah,
you know. It don't get no better than that, does it?
Yeah, I heard the pain, man. Yeah, I heard it.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm the best cat I know. I can't trust nobody else.
Yeah,
I gotta get
I heard
it.
It.
I leave. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Now, here's my question for 3072.
Yeah.
You there, 3072?
Yeah, I'm here. What'd you say?
How can a young man, Pookie, reared in conditions of poverty, shaped by distrust for authority, and motivated by hunger for instant gratification, be reborn again? 18 years old. Mm-hmm. He's had to hit and get it all this time. How you gonna be reborn again?
Well,
take a stab.
I think first of all, he really is gonna have to realize that he needs to be reborn again. That there's a need for that, because again, you stated he don't think that. So if he don't think that, I mean, it's just like trying to tame a wild horse. That's all you're gonna have to put him in a stall or do something, and that's still not gonna be effective. It's only gonna be effective only like the jail cells when they're in jail. But you let them back out again, they back bronking, they kicking, they right. So I mean, they're gonna have to know, hey, I need help to be reborn.
But his survival dictates that he shut you down and anybody else trying to talk him out of his hustle, because all he knows is the hustle.
And,
you understand?
And you speak on like the black males or guys in those situations with the block and the dope and all that.
Right.
I went through a similar thing coming up. Teenage mom, getting into trouble, smoking the weed, all of the other stuff. And that's really not where I came from, my home life. However, I had to come to the conclusion, the realization, I had to see a need to change. I had to it wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. My concern and my need for change was for that little boy looking up to me as mama. So until I saw that, wasn't nothing happening. But when I saw that, then everything, God just opened up, not just doors, but he opened my mind, my heart, my vessel, everything, to be humble enough to learn from always from square one, A, on now, maybe I'm on in W or S or, hey. So we got to just be open.
Bless God. Bless God.
Pastor
Walker. She hit hard right there.
She threw a low blow right there, man. Still a low blow right there. Pastor Walker, Nicodemus snuck out trying to be on the low and trying to get something for nothing. You understand what I'm saying? You don't know nobody like that, do you? Who always trying to get something for nothing, do you? Trying to hustle you out.
Yeah.
You don't know nobody like that. You ain't never known nobody like that, do you?
No, that's pretty tough.
Look, watch this, Pastor. Watch what he threw at the Savior. Nicodemus said, look, how you think a cat like me can be born when I'm old? I'm set, man. I got everything. I'm one of the Jews. I'm one of the Pharisees, baby. You don't know who I am? What you mean I got to be born? What you mean, go back to my womb, old as I am, man, what I done been through? That's where the poop is.
Now, and here's the thing, fellas, we've got to be just as cunning, just as slick, just as tricky as the devil. We need to be able to lure them in, too, to entice, be able to get up next to them, to get in their ear. So that right there, if you can figure that out.
Hold that thought right there, 37-2. You own it, 37-2. You swinging hard tonight, 37-2. Look at what is happening. What is happening, 37-2, is because I'm guilty, Pastor. We have not done an effective job of teaching our young brothers coming up about things like the Harlem Renaissance and about Black Wall Street, right? And about other things that are good examples. The devil, the enemy, has given them a lesson and given them a pattern to model themselves by. And it's one that leads to a primrose path to death and destruction. Because 37-2, that's what you're saying. That's what they need. But the enemy has figured out if I market it right and I make it look glorified through rap, through YouTube and Facebook, and I put that spin on it, make it look like you dying in the gangster lean, you'll kill yourself trying to look good.
So again, the pastors and the churches and whoever else is out here on a good crusade, we y'all need to go back to the table and strategize on marketing then.
Come on, you need to be able to compete. She's right on it. She's been right on it from the start, man. And what, when you ask the question, what would she do, you know what I mean, when that little fella is the way he is? Then watch this. Now, I'm going to elaborate on what she said because that's the way it's going to have to be done. All right. When you have examples out there, whether it be good or bad examples, she let it be known that you have to be more aware that the enemy is already out there doing his thing. Now, in order for us to sit back as spectators, it would disqualify you because you're not bringing anything to the table. You're just looking from afar, seeing what they need. But when you take to the street what they need, when you flood the community with good information, that would automatically get on them. You see what I'm saying? Since there's no good information that's out there, they're just, being stirred up. And which causes them on purpose to say, hey, man, I can't get around. There's so much good information around here. I got to tap into it just to see if it'll free me.
Wow.
You see?
Yeah.
And that's not going on. And I'm saying this to say that when that takes place, because that's where the solution is, and I'm going on it because I know that there is a solution, and I say when the solution is being presented to the streets and say this we offer to the streets because we heard the cry. We understand the pain. Now, if you don't know the pain, if you don't understand the cry, then you can't come and rescue nobody. Like if the baby's crying and you hear that cry, you're supposed to come to rescue the baby because you know that particular cry is a cry for help.
Yeah.
And what they're doing to one another right now, that's that cry. You see?
Yeah.
So I love the way she brought that to the table, is to say, stay in their ear. What do you put in their ear?
Yeah.
Something of value. You see what I'm saying? Because right now what's in their ear is, as you said, Pastor Doctor, the things that you would find on all these different areas, and you could just start naming them, and it draws them, the attention, span just automatic, just kick in to whatever they're offering. And that can keep them from good information, if you don't mind. Because what good information does, it restores us. It restores our community. It brings the love, the joy, the freedom, the peace. It brings all that back to the table.
Yes.
Why
yes.
is it so hard to present that when people are on the inside at the in churches with this type of information inside the church? Why is it so hard to take it out of the church and
still
open
the Let's take it a step further. I'm even cutting out the challenge of them getting to the church.
Uh-oh.
These people in the community that is right next door to them, that is the one talking to them, they're on the run. Oh, man, what should I do? Damn, the feds closing in. You got the perfect chance. They giving you their ear in. What should you do? Man, when you go on and lay down and do that little time, then I would do this. You need to start thinking about just going legitimate.
Right.
You know.
See?
Giving people good advice, right? I mean, maybe this person telling them that don't go to church on a regular, but yes, if we, the people, can just start giving people good advice. That's why I was debating with the caller, I guess, a couple of weeks ago about not hold them accountable or not allow them not to
You're
hold
breaking
them.
Up.
You got to tell people when they're wrong. Can you hear me now?
Go ahead. Say that again.
Repeat your statement.
I was saying that me and the caller a couple of weeks ago were in debate over what to tell people and why they don't listen. Well, you don't give them false information such as, well, you're doing the right thing, just stay on the run. You tell them what's right to do. Get yourself out of this if you can. And how you get yourself out is you go legitimate. Now, once you're out of that, then come back and talk to me. I'm going to help you stay straight.
That makes sense. Pastor, I have the answer to my own question.
All right.
I guess you probably knew that, though, huh?
Yeah, I'm staying in that area. I'm looking for it.
But for the benefit of our listening audience, those on Facebook and those that are listening from the platform of Blog Talk Radio, and those that may archive this live stream video later, the question was asked, how can Pookie, who's reared in conditions of poverty, shaped in distrust for authority and motivated by hunger for instant gratification, be born again? Huh? Watch this. Pookie, who is fit with all those situations, is most likely a victim, Pastor, of what I described as ghetto trap syndrome. In other words, he caught up in them streets and don't know no other way out. Now, in order for him to be born again, to change his life in the newness of life, walking in the newness, we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Check this out.
That's pretty quick. Yeah, pretty quick.
Three things, Pastor, I'm offering tonight as a how-to rebirth or cause Pookie to go through a renaissance in 2018, this February 15th, 2018. One, he needs to be removed from that triggering environment where the ghetto trap syndrome got him infected. Huh?
Yeah, that's understandable.
Two, when you remove him, you got to take him somewhere where you can therapeutically deprogram his thinking from that street hustle. I want to talk to somebody tonight. We got him in a 6x6 room now, Pastor. He can't go nowhere. The door is locked. We're deprogramming his mind's foolishness and giving him the newness of life. Help me, Holy Ghost. Then third.
And then he's open.
Watch this, Pastor. I'm going to come out. Don't go nowhere, Pastor. Then third, he can't go nowhere now. We got him. We got him, his body and his mind. We're deprogramming it. Watch this, Pastor. With knowledge, truth, and righteousness, we reprogram him to proactive thinking and orientation. He could be 50 years old and messed up, but Pookie needs a newness of life. Go ahead, Pastor. What are you going to say?
That's it. 37:2 is put it right there. What you're talking about right now is realizing that, you know, to have him to be mindful of, there's an opportunity, but he has to be within himself open for change, you see?
Yeah.
And when that's presented to you and you're open for it, then it starts to resonate. In other words, it starts to now make sense to me. I'll give you a good example. When I was captured and then I started to become free, and one thing that I had to do, I had to go to this center, and I just used to have to go wake up and be there at a certain time. That was my job, not to try to do nothing else. And see, that's change. It wasn't a lot of change, but it was enough to start on doing something different, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the starting point of what you're offering him when you have him in that little room you're talking about. You share things with him. You put good information out there, and all of a sudden, you know, he said, even though I don't want to do this because I don't know anything about it, because I'm not good at waking up and going down here at 8 o'clock in the morning. You see what I'm saying? But
watch
that's what I had to do.
Watch out now.
Yeah, that was a starting point. And every day I got up and went down there, man, I realized that I've done that for about 2 weeks. Man, that's a long time. I didn't know what it was night or day sometimes. And all of a sudden, you know, going in another direction, doing something different, even though it wasn't but a little bit.
Yeah.
It was enough to get me started. Because that's how you get in the trap. It don't take but a little bit to get you in the trap.
That's
all
right.
All it takes.
Yeah. so that's a beautiful thing, man, is to put some good information in his ear. And that's
the
starting point.
Suppose he want to take his earphones in there with him and he want a little TV. He want to watch some stuff on YouTube and keep up what's going on Facebook. Should we tell him he can't have that in the box?
Well, no, I that's the thing that I want you to understand. I like that. That's a very good question. And to me, knowing that the little Pookie, the little brother that you was talking about, say he was out there trying to survive them streets. I'm just trying to survive them streets from day to day, right? And so part of that, what you see, he always have that on him. So you don't take that from him. You just let him know that that's changeable. You see, that's changeable. And once you realize it's changeable, and then those layers start to be peeled off from you. And all of a sudden, on his own, he won't even want to take that with him today.
That's right.
You see?
So you're
see,
saying
the power of change is working. Yeah, it's working, brother.
Let me wrap my mind around what you're telling me now. Let me see, because you're going too fast for me, man. Slow down.
What I'm hearing you say
is, you can't tell him that what he's been through ain't real. Is that what you're saying? Don't try to fool him like he ain't been through some hardship. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Meet him right where he is, you know?
My God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My God. It's best that way because he's listening. And he desires change. See, a lot of people there desire to change, man. They're hungry for change. But
so, Pastor, I shared this with you, but I'm sharing with the listening audience. I proposed a model and a construct for the juvenile court here in Davidson County, Tennessee. And I said, rather than sending them to lockup when they commit certain offenses, let them come to a therapeutic home environment that we constructed for. And I think for a second the judge was listening, Pastor. But then politics came into play.
Watch it.
And I wonder if in somebody's mind they said, doggone it, if Dockery take him and snatch him out of that environment and clear his head and let him wake up to reality and start thinking so he knows what the actual day is and what time it is and who's in charge.
Oh,
he may fool around and
and
do something and overcome this thing.
So all of a sudden,
all kind of monkey wrenches got thrown in the plan,
Pastor. My goodness, brother.
Well, that is hard, though, because where would you take him? Okay,
No. You know where he's going right now? He going to a little 6x6 room at the juvenile court, or at the juvenile jail.
Yeah.
That's why you keep hearing me talking about 6x6. See, I was a supervisor at a juvenile detention facility, and where we took them when they were out of control, when they needed to calm down, they needed time out, we put them in a 6x6 box, and it worked most effectively. But what we need to create within our neighborhoods and our street, 3072, is a semblance of a place where they can be pulled away from the voices, the distractions,
and the negative influence that keeps them going.
You understand what I'm saying? Now,
I
would argue that it's enough churches. Unfortunately, it's people in the church ain't right, apparently. Because we can't seem to get them to wrap their mind around it. But there's enough resources. I like what you're saying, 3072. If the church won't do it, let the people say amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Let us come together and let's create. Don't create no garbage now. I ain't talking about that. I don't think anybody should fund any foolishness or garbage.
Right.
So put your money where your mouth is. And since Pastor Wally, you and I have survived the street and we know what's real, put these little brothers in there and reprogram their heads to what's real.
Yeah.
Can I get a
It can be done.
It can be done. Yes, sir.
They waited. They are waiting.
They dying for it, man. They literally dying for it.
We're waiting so much at 3072. I believe, now I could be wrong, but I can believe just because the example that God gave me from lying to myself to telling myself the truth. See, a lot of them lying to themselves right now out there.
I got.
But when truth come up and free them up, man, that'd be so wonderful to know. Man, I just got hooked up with the truth. You know, this one out here, we've been lying to ourselves all this. Who is doing us like that? But now that they're free, you know, it's amazing, man. That's the only thing that's going to free them up is the truth. You see?
Didn't you tell me that somebody said that ye shall know the truth and the truth will make you? Didn't you say that before?
Yeah, man, and that's what'll happen. It'll make you free. Anytime something makes you something, man, that's easy. See, inside the kingdom of darkness, once you enter into the kingdom of heaven, it makes you become that.
Listen,
so
y'all.
When you get inside the kingdom of righteousness, man, it'll make you free.
It'll make. Come on now. That's my last thought. For the last 30 minutes, we got about 29 minutes before the show is over with. 657-383-0944. Give us a holler. We welcome your comment, your question, and we'll move from there. Pastor, when we come back, let me do this last little, squeeze this last little break in there. And when we come back, Pastor, that's just where I want to take us, right there. That's just where I want to take us. You said something about the kingdom of God. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, hold that thought right there. Hold that thought right there. Let me hit this. Let me hit this right quick. Then we come right back to it.
All right.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts, as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times, and locations for our traveling educational lecture series and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Tonight, our topic on this February 15, 2018, another night of Black History Month, the Harlem Renaissance transitioned from being colored to black. That was a time where they called you Negro, and then some of us were called colored. But there was a period in our history in America where self-determination called us to refer to ourselves as black people, which meant that you were strong, you had much to offer the world. All right. Before we went to our little commercial break, I told Pastor Wall I want to hit him up with something. Now, y'all heard the brother talk about wake up everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on. Everybody. The four. poor, the educated, the disheartened, the disenfranchised. Everybody wake up. The educated, the uneducated, the ugly, the pretty. Huh? Everybody, no more sleeping in bed.
That's
right.
It's
time for thinking and looking forward ahead. Pastor, in John 3:3,
mm-hmm.
Jesus answered that guy that snuck out at night and said, look here, man, surely, surely, except only under the condition that you be born again. You cannot, Pastor, see the kingdom of God. Now, you talked about the kingdom of God. I said, he said something right there. I asked myself, what is the kingdom of God? Any kingdom is a government or order. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, that's it.
So you can't see the order of God, the blessings of God's order, until you change your fathead mind, Doctor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to get in the right kingdom.
Why I got to do that, Brother Pastor? Answer that for me right quick now. Tell our listeners why I got to do that now. Why I got to change my mind just to see God's order?
Well, the first thing I would like to say to the listening audience and what we've been talking about, as the word say, where there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, that he would be in the midst. So we thank him for being in the midst. And
right.
I thought about some of the things that we have talked about. But then it got a little deeper right here as we continue when it says about the enemy. And most, as I say, most of the brothers in the street, we don't deal with the Bible for the most part and everything.
Right.
But just so happens, since we are touching on it, it's all right. It says, and if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? In other words, if Satan divide himself against himself, his kingdom is not going to stand. So he's not going against himself, you see, because there's a kingdom that he's dealing with. And that's why, you know, the Bible says it very plain, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. So if Satan got his kingdom standing, he's not going against himself, then that's the reason why he wants more people in his kingdom so he can give them instructions in what to do and then what not to do, you see? And then
okay. Here
go God's kingdom. And then here go God's kingdom. And watch this. It says, and it made it very plain. He says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. See, there's a lot of talk going on. With the Bible in the hand, but
bring
with
it down,
no power. You see, when he said the kingdom of God is not in word, that means there's a lot of talk going on. But he said it's not in word, but in power. So it has to be power in those words that you're talking. So if you're out there talking to them little brothers that's out in the street, and your words have no power, you might be speaking Satan's kingdom talk.
Stop, man.
I didn't
man.
Say you
Stop,
was.
Man.
I said you might
You
be.
Heard me, man. You heard me.
Reach out now. You see? And that's why I appreciate that man who came out there and said something to me. 37:2, this is what he said to me. Listen to what this man said to me while I was on the street. He extended me an invitation to come to church. He didn't put me down. He didn't say a whole lot of other things. He let his window up in that Cadillac and drove off.
Yeah.
But what did he do? He planted a seed. A seed that I could not shake. No matter what I was doing, I couldn't shake the seed that he just put down, not knowing that it was going to stick with me. But how many of you know when the Word of God has power, guess what? You can't even shake it.
Oh, man.
Look here, Pastor.
Yeah.
Look here, Pastor. You just went deep there, man. You just went deep.
Oh,
can,
my goodness.
Can I,
just,
you read from Luke, the 17th chapter, and I believe it was 20th verse. Can I hit what the 21st verse says? See, they were asking Jesus about when the kingdom of heaven going to come. He said they ain't going to come with observation about what it looked like. But 21 says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, look, y'all, the kingdom of God is within you.
Yeah.
If you don't bring the order to Lil Pookie, guess what? He may never get to know who Jesus
No.
If
you
ain't got
it to him.
In.
Yeah,
huh?
You got to take it to him. You have it in you. You have to have it in you, brother. It's just that way. I mean, when the Word of God says it is now high time to awake out of sleep, why would he say that? You know, that's in the Bible. It is now
right.
high time to awake out of
to
sleep.
Wait. Yes. Sir.
Yeah. So that tells me right there that there's been a lot of sleeping going on in a location.
Too much sleep.
That, yeah, and I'm talking about this is where they pour the Bibles out at, inside the church building. So why would he say that? I mean, if I go to the church and they pull the Bible out and they say go to chapter such and verse such, and then they read it, right? And then I discover that, hey, that's what it said. Give you a good example. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
High time to wake up.
Yeah. And he let it be known. He made it plain. And the next verse says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. How are we going to cast off the works of darkness when we don't even know how to do it? We have to put on the armor of light to be able to cast off the works of darkness, because darkness is doing its thing out in the world.
Yes, sir.
That's all the shooting and killing and all the things that the young brothers are doing one toward another. It's because of darkness, man. They are asleep.
Right. Can I bring Pastor, can I bring 3072 back into the fray here?
Good, definitely, without a doubt.
3072, you a sweet, lovely young lady who've been around a time or two. You know some things. Ain't that right?
Yes.
That's right.
I'm setting you up 37.
But I love jelly though, right?
Okay. Little Pookie get hungry for a little companionship, and he want to get himself with a little gal.
Yeah.
Is Pookie ready? Is he ready?
For who, me?
No.
I told you.
Excuse me, y'all. Excuse me. I said, Lil Pookie, you know Lil Pookie's status, right? He caught up.
Yeah.
But he get lonely like anybody else. He wants to have a relationship with a little
right.
girl. Is he ready for that? Is he ready for that?
No. And she would be a fool to get into one with him. I mean, everybody deserves love. I mean, and man and woman were made for each other. However, no, he is not mentally, nor physically, nor financially, nor no way ready for a woman or a baby. For neither one of those. Until he get himself together. Yes.
Hey, 3072, he rolling on Dove. 24s, you understand? And he got a wad of money in his pocket. What you mean, him?
He rolling on Dubs for 24 hours until he get caught by the police or shot. One of the two. But, yeah, for 24.
Boy, you hot, 3072. You hot.
Yeah, man. Right.
Let me answer my own question. I appreciate what you're saying, 3072. And we still got about 16 minutes if y'all want to give us a call here. 657-383-0944. Call us live. We still got a few minutes. You may want to get in on the last minute here. That's okay.
No. And you know what? Can I just say something real quick, Pastor?
Yes, go ahead.
You were asking about Pookie and like him and like a lot of the guys out there that's doing their thing or whatever. However, and I've had talks with them. You want to know what's a good woman for you? What's a real woman? And I ain't even going to say what they call them in the street, a bad dude, whatever they say.
What?
Any good woman or any chick that's supposed to be your ride or die and truly down for you is not going to promote you getting killed or locked up.
Wow.
So she going to help you devise a plan to get up at the street where you guys can actually be together.
Oh, my.
Thank you.
That's, I'm just saying.
I'm just going to add to what you're saying, 37, because you laid it down beautifully. Now, Pastor, we got the Pookie in this 6x6 room. He wants to call his gal because he wants her to whisper sweet nothing. Here. We tell Pookie, no, sir. No, sir. No contact. No contact while you're in this room. Well, why? Because the only relationship, Pookie, you need to develop one with yourself. You don't even love yourself.
Yeah, she's working on his behalf. Yeah, she's working then, Pastor, because 37-2 said she's the ride or die with him, right? That means that
she's
interceding in his behalf. Yeah, yeah, she's supposed to be working hard to try to make sure that he can fulfill everything that needs to be by way
of
order.
Can I say something,
sir.
Pastor? In the beginning, when God made male and female, he gave instructions. What Lil Pookie don't know is what God's instructions or blueprint is for his success.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why she don't know it either. Let me tell you why she don't know it. Because God didn't tell her. Hello, somebody. She wasn't even in existence when God told Lil Pookie what to do. So, Pookie, you got to first find out yourself what your purpose and your direction before you go trying to holler at some little gal.
Oh, my.
Hold on one second. The best you can do is not only to mess up your life ill-prepared, but to mess hers up too and bring a baby in this world and mess their life up. Make it challenging too. Go ahead.
Well, but I mean, even after the fact, and you have men that's in church or that's living normal, decent lives too, they get confused. I mean, yes, and God gave the man the plan. However, some of y'all be like hooked on phonics. So you be like, okay, you need help again. Redirection. That is what a woman's place is, right? I mean, God didn't just create us women just to bear the children and rub your backs and make you food and all that. He gave us a brain too. So she can redirect. She can tell. Yes.
37:2 Proverbs 31:10 bears out what you're saying. When it asks the question, and then it asks, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" And it describes just what you're saying. In order for her to be virtuous, she got to have some wit, some sense, some intelligence, and everything else. So you're right, 37:2 What I'm saying is, all the Pookie gonna be able to offer her. Let me get this right, Pastor, because we on live air right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
That probably ain't about nothing either, but okay, because Pookie hooks
don't find yourself. You'll find yourself singing what B.B. King said, "The thrill is gone. Thrill is gone."
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's good news, Pastor. That's good news.
It is.
Here's the good news. We now know that me, you, Pookie, 37-2, and everybody I don't care what your walk in life is. If you hadn't met that point where you were born again. You're in trouble.
Right?
You're in trouble right now. You're in trouble.
And then
you can be a good person. You can mean well. But you gotta be born again.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. A lot of people mean well, and there's a lot of that going on out in the world. You know. Go ahead. 37-2 Go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna change the subject. Go ahead, Doctor.
No. That was it. That was the point about being born again.
Okay.
The important point again. Go ahead. You had another question you want to ask?
Just back to being born again. But this is off the subject of kind of what we're talking about. So the mass shooting that happened the other day.
Yes.
And, I mean, you've got a lot of people in uproar over not only the fact that, you know, the young man killed people. But now it's appearing that the media – or whoever part of society is trying to make it out like, oh, he's a victim. A poor guy, mom, died in November. He was adopted, this, that, and the other. He is not the victim here. These families and the lost lives are. But I can see how a young person out there in the street, you know what I'm saying, could equate that to, oh, well, it's just prejudice and racism. So since I don't have a fair chance anyway because I'm black, do you get what I'm saying?
Right.
I follow you.
Wow.
Now,
and I'm in agreement. They should not be putting that, who gives a darn? I mean, I lost two parents too in 2017. I didn't go and shoot up nowhere. I came up hard. I didn't go shoot up somewhere. You know what I'm saying? That's another way of giving.
All right.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Since you brought that up, and this is somewhat related, consider this. 19 years old. Struggling, right?
Mm-hmm.
As many black males in urban America shooting, killing people are struggling.
Yes.
For years. Now, here's the catch. Those young cats in urban America get airtime on the news, locally and nationally, for what they do. LaShawty felt like it's time for me to get some what? Recognition.
Recognition,
How do I do that? I do something that make people pay attention to me. I told y'all the reason the little black boy and the white boy is carrying a gun is because it gives them a sense of power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Why did he use the AR-15? Because it allowed him to do this thing in a most ruthless fashion. Because he's looking for what? Some of the same attention that the other people are getting across America. I'm going to do something to make them keep their eyes on me.
Yeah.
Are y'all walking? And LaShawty's that's been in the street. LaShawty's that's been in the street. Most of the time, they ain't trying to run the block hard, but they get caught up on the block.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the story don't turn out quite like they want it to.
Oh, no. It's not going to.
No.
And that would be another way that I would be in my guy's ear. Since the devil is busy, I'm going to play busy too. So, man, don't be a fool. Exactly. They not going to treat you like they did that. I mean, crime is crime, but think about it. So if you're going, you trying to get some glory out of this, you get none. You get nothing. Nothing.
And what was it, 17? What was it, 17 lives, 32, 72?
Yeah, yes.
Was it 17 lives?
Yes.
I mean,
the person who done it, they didn't kill him. He was able to go and have be arrested and things like that.
They didn't hit him. They didn't do nothing to him.
He got three hearts in the cot now.
Okay. All right.
Huh? These people they'll never be able to experience their loved ones again. He got three hearts in the cot and the system gonna pay for him. As long as you're there.
Here's the sadder thing that we were talking about, the mental health thing. Yeah, he's had a long history of these issues. The school knew that he was crazy. He was voted most likely to come up there and shoot that sucker up. So why wasn't he put away? Why wasn't he put up?
That's a great question. For the same reason, 3072, that young men that are running right now out of control because they have not been diagnosed and they have not been court ordered to treatment. They get away until they hurt themselves or somebody else.
And here's what the young ones are not getting now. So now that cat has made it even harder for your hustle in the street. Because guess what?
Well,
he could say whatever he want to say. You say the wrong thing if you want to. You look wrong if you want to, and watch what happens.
Absolutely.
What a difference.
See, they're not taking heed. They're not taking heed. Not even paying attention.
Yeah, that's it right there. They're not taking heed. That's what's going on.
Wow, that's so sad.
Yeah, it is. See, the speed of street life today, even when, as I look back, and I mean, it was pretty fast back then, and I was unable to see. I can only imagine, you know, how fast and how, quote, unable they are unable to speak, you know, or to understand, again, the power of what they're facing with,
or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's like they should be able to see it, you would think. You know, say, hey, why are we doing so much of this killing one another? You would think that they would be aware of that.
Yeah.
But with the power of darkness won't allow them to see that. So we have to bring forth that arc of light, you know, as you say, stay in their ear to make sure that they're always hearing this positive, you know, form of change, you know, that's available. You know, if we don't have that to present, you know, it's just a sad occasion, ongoing. So the solution is available, you know. I believe it. I still believe it. I'm standing on that.
So 372, I guess you hear one of the things I'm pushing for. We've got to open a facility.
Yeah.
A facility. Where we round them up off the streets.
Right.
And bring them in so that they can be deprogrammed from the streets.
Wouldn't that be beautiful? More government, honestly, programs to even after the fact that you've rounded them up when they're going about their real lives now.
Right.
Help.
Pastor Waller, I wish I knew of an elected official that will push for such a legislation. I wish I knew somebody that would do that.
Oh, man, you're talking to him now. Look in the mirror, man.
I can't find nobody.
Maybe if we construct the president a new pay, he may throw us on our way to do what we're trying to do.
You know
get
what?
Him the hairpiece.
All I can say, Pastor Paul, is on like Donkey Kong.
That's all I can say. Yes, sir.
You know, I'm sick and tired of seeing little shorties fall by the wayside, and I'm looking for a victory sooner.
Yeah.
I ain't just talking right now, Pastor. I hope y'all are listening, because you might hear what the real answer coming that's down the pipe, see?
Oh, yeah. That's what faith comes about here, you know, that started, so it's a positive thing that you're talking, and it lines up with what you're doing, you know?
Do you know why I'm upset right now, 3072?
What?
We just got 2 minutes and 36 seconds to go.
Pastor Waller playing with the clock again.
That
witchcraft, that sorcery on the phone.
Right quickly, 3072, right quickly. Give me 15 seconds of a word to walk away from for Lil Pookie tonight.
Lil Pookie, just keep your head up. I mean, help is on the way. Help is on the way.
Okay.
Give me some passing for us so we can get out of here, man.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. As a believer, you know, Luke chapter 1, verse 37 states very clear. It says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Nothing.
So I can see I can just see the help showing up on the way, as you said.
Amen. And with that, we're going to have to leave. This has been Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dockery. We're talking about the Harlem Renaissance transition from color to black. Next week, we're going to come back with some more powerful historical examples. With that little shawty in that 6x6 room. We're going to put some stuff in his head during the month of February. He's going to learn something. Yeah. Amen. We'll be back next Tuesday, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, for another live episode of Talk Straight. Thanks to all of you that has joined us, and we look forward to give us an email. Send us an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. I'm glad to respond to
love
all
you.
All right.
Guys.
Signing off.
Love you as well, sister.
All right, then. All right.
Love you, man.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up. In places with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time, I's been a-climbing on and reaching Latin's. turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now.